The Lord be with you.
Thank
you so much for leading us in worship and prayer already. Beautiful time. Strong sense of the Spirit speaking to us already tonight. Maybe you feel that too. I wonder where you'll take us by the end of tonight. Father, help me to communicate something of what Jesus meant and what he was trying to prepare us for and how we could live and how we could be and how we could display your kingdom even when things are very, very hard for us. Amen. Amen. So here's a picture of us, actually the dot in the middle in my computer is a little bit different from the other ones, but the dot in the middle is us, and there's a group of people around us who sense that feeling of, oh, this is nice place, nice people around me, feeling good. Yeah? Happy picture. Yeah? Yeah. Happy picture, feeling humbled and loved and surrounded by people, you're chatting, you're in relationship with each other. Have you ever felt like this? When suddenly everything changes, not feeling so nice. Unhappy picture. They've moved away from you. There was something about you they didn't like. Something in you. Something about your identity, maybe. And they moved. And you felt the distance increase. Yeah? Anyone resonate with that feeling? Sometimes you pick it up, don't you? Walk into a room. Not like tonight, I feel very loved by you guys, but sometimes you walk into a room, don't you? You know the room is not with you. It's a difficult place to be. Or what about this? Even worse, when? You like my animation. So this is where they're not just away from you, they are actually away from you, but against you. You are the focus of their attention in some way. They're not just ignoring you, which is one thing. This situation is one where you are the focus of their attention in a negative way. You are the other that they do not like or appreciate. And they and you feel very different. You feel, well, how do you feel? You feel smaller, nervous, anxious. How do you want to be in this situation? How are you going to respond? There's this thing called fight or flight, which is yours. How do you respond in this situation? Another way of doing the same thing, or another way of talking about the same thing, is maybe these kind of images. One is where a person walks away from you. That feeling. It's a common feeling, isn't it? It's something that happens right when you're a kid at school. Do you remember that feeling when you thought you had a friendship and then suddenly they toddle off? It starts young, doesn't it? Projection. Or maybe it's worse than just moving away from you. It's actually a rejection of you. Or maybe it's an exclusion where you know that you're being talked about. Maybe you feel this. Maybe you feel this right now in your life right now. Now, notice what happens with Jesus. This is the context, I think, that Jesus is giving us last week's passage and then this week's passage. Notice who are the blessed. He's writing to a group of people who are feeling this. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who hunger now. Blessed are you who are weak now. Blessed are you when people hate you. When they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil. But note the context of Jesus. Because of the Son of Man. So Jesus is, the context of this passage that we're going to look at in a moment, is set alongside the other passage which nudges up to it, which is this experience of being rejected, not simply because you're different from them, but because of your identity as one who's following the Son of Man. As we were worshipping up, I feel this very often, a sense of don't even know whether to call it a prophetic thing, but it's a sense that, oh my goodness, maybe we're heading into a time of winter. I don't know. I was trying to work out whether it wasn't really an image, but there was a sense of us being squeezed all around us. And we don't know, we've lived in the summertime of Christianity. Atmosphere around us is basically, well, it's moving towards apathy now, but maybe it's going to move through. We have people, we've lived in a Christian country for many years, and then it's now maybe apathetic, but maybe the tide is turning away from apathy towards antagonism and rejection. And actually the word Christian may be increasingly negative in people's first response. You go to a Christian school, you have a Christian faith, you believe in Christian marriage, these things could turn us, could instantly turn you away from something. I wondered if we're, because we talk about church growth all the time, as if this is, you know, if we could only just figure out how to do the lighting or the worship or the reading or the how to dress cool or something, that suddenly everyone will flock in. But maybe, and those things are important, obviously. But maybe God is saying, you know, you may dream of growth, but actually you're going to enter into, maybe the church is entering into a time of deep winter where you'll be, where to be you will feel very isolated. You can test that, whether that's a God thing or not, just a Richard thought. But Jesus seems to assume that people in following him will be hated, which is interesting, isn't it? There are lots of words of Jesus, but actually not that many. But this is repeated several times. It's assumed. This is key. The key words of Jesus are assuming that there's going to be a group of people who follow him who need to remember this. Blessed are you. So this is what it was like. Judaism fitted within the culture, the broader culture, which was antagonistic or maybe empathetic towards it. A bit like our culture. And the tablets and the temple were held Judaism together, and the Sabbath, these rituals of ways of being, and Yahweh was the one true God. And they proclaimed this boldly, but they had this sense of identity which was separate from everyone else. There was a boundary around them. It wasn't completely solid, but you were able to become part of it, but it was very strong. Circumcision and all those markers that went with it. And then there was this man, Jesus, who drew around him a group of Jewish disciples. And he proclaimed the kingdom of God, and he said, this is the day when God's rule is going to express itself in the most beautiful and powerful of ways. Descending heaven and earth is going to touch. And people came from Israel, from the villages and towns, and at the edges as well, Samaria, and places that were Jewish but not quite, if you know what I mean, not pure. They came and joined Jesus' gang and became his disciples. And then even a few, like Jairus, actually, Jairus was the leader of the synagogue. Who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of the other guy. The centurion, who came from outside, from the Gentile land. He was one of the pagans who worshipped another god. And he could see in Jesus something of such purity and goodness that he wanted to be with him. And he had great faith. In fact, more faith than the whole of Israel, said Jesus. And they started coming in to this group of people called Jesus' disciples. Didn't have a name yet. Weren't called Christians, but they were just gathered around Jesus trying to follow him. What happened next? Well, what happened next was that this group of people began to be squeezed, didn't it? So very early on in Luke's second book, the book of Acts, you get the story of the church being squeezed all around, the persecuted church. Can you remember that the guy who was quite at the forefront of the persecution, it began with he changed his name from to he went from Saul to Paul. Big guy to little guy. He changed his name from big man to small man. And he got contaminated and overawed by the magnificence of Jesus, and he decided that rather than persecuting Jesus' followers, you should become part of them and declare that Jesus is really alive. He really is the Lord and the Son. And where did Paul go? He didn't stay within Judaism, did he? He went outside into Gentile land. Yes? He started proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and people started, it really exploded then, because the Messiah, well, he started using their names for Messiah, like Lord and King. And they started giving him the honor that was due him. And Paul started this incredible movement as people began to move towards Jesus. And this is Luke, the gospel writer Luke, who wanted to write the story out, my dear Theophilus. What kind of name is that? Is it a Jewish name, Theophilus? No, it's not. It's a Gentile name, isn't it? He's a Gentile. So I'm writing to you an orderly account so you can make sense of what it's like to be part of this community. And what is it like being part of this community in a pagan world where Caesar is king? It's contested ground, isn't it? It's not easy being a Jesus follower when you're proclaiming Jesus is the king of kings. And there's another king called Caesar. It's difficult being a Jesus follower in this time. You with me on this, on the context? So can you see how when Luke is writing his orderly account, he might draw out the phrases from Jesus which said, "Blessed are you who are poor, you who are hungry, you who have nothing, you who are persecuted. Rejoice in that day, for you will be counted among the faithful. But woe to you who are easygoing, rich, taking life easily." You understand why Luke would hold on to these passages. So the context is of one with incredible pressure on the people of God, whether they're Jew and Gentile. There was pressure inside the community. You know, we have pressure inside every community, every family, doesn't it? There's always potential breakdown of relationship within every family and in any group, isn't it? Don't look at me like that's not true. That is true, isn't it? And you know this is the lived reality of being human, isn't it? And they're different, aren't they? Jews and Gentiles, very different from each other. And so they have to get along. And how do they get along? Well, they're drawn to Jesus, but they have all sorts of different rituals and ways of behaving and also ways of thinking about Yahweh. And so they have to... That's the problem. Much of the New Testament is written just so that they can get along with each other. So there's a problem within themselves about how they love one another. But there's also a problem about how they respond to the people outside of the group. Some of whom are their husbands or wives, because they started following Jesus and being drawn to him, but their husband or wife is still outside the group and they are anxious about how do I do this now? And then others have been persecuting them and inflicting bad things on them, and they're struggling to work out how do they respond in this context. Does that make sense of the narrative? It helps a little bit, doesn't it? How is the Christian community going to display the kingdom of God in the face of persecution and challenge? This is going to be the test case to see whether they really are Jesus followers or not. So this furnace, this testing, this fire, this incredible... Well, that's a different image, isn't it? Because fire is different from winter. I used the image of winter earlier, as if we're frozen. Or maybe fire would be another one. Maybe we're entering a period of intense heat where the Christians of our culture will be under incredible heat and it will burn a few of us up. How is the Christian community going to display the kingdom of God in the face of persecution? What are we going to do? Are we going to fight or are we going to flee away? That's normally what happens. You either do one or the other, isn't it? You either fight or you run away. And Jesus did neither. He neither ran away, but neither did he fight. And so we're invited into this story of being like Jesus. What does that look like? The first thing we need to know, how do we do this thing, this incredible thing of remaining where we are? The first thing we need to know is that we're blessed as a result of this. Because we don't think that instinctively, do we? As the temperature gets hotter, we don't think we're blessed, do we? It's a lovely day, and then it's too hot. It's not a lovely day anymore. You've moaned already, haven't you? You know, it's a lovely day. Oh no, it's not. It's too hot. And that's exactly what happens with us. As the heat will go up, we will stop thinking that we're blessed. It will get too hot for us. But we need to remember, in the midst of this incredible testing time that's, I think, going to just only get worse for us, that we are the blessed ones. Blessed are you who are rejected by others, says Jesus. Second thing we need to do is, you who are listening, anyone listening still, along somewhere, I say, love your enemies. So first thing is love. And then Jesus maps out what love is in a number of different ways. But the first thing is, he says, when people are against you, the first thing you must instinctively think is, wow, I'm being blessed right now. And the second thing you must think is, this is a person I can love. I'm going to step towards you rather than away from you. I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to run away from you. I'm going to love you. What does love do? Steps towards people, doesn't it? Steps towards people. How can you love the person who hates you, who's insulting you, cursing you, bringing you down, threatening you, challenging your faith, undermining your existence, criticizing your very identity, making rules and laws in your country that mean that you feel squeezed? You don't feel like you belong anymore. It's not yours anymore. Relate to anyone? How do we have to love them? We have to love our enemy. Second one, the third idea is that we must bless those who curse them. This is Jesus unwrapping what love means. Bless, what does it mean to bless? What does it mean to bless? It's a difficult thing without using the words that follow, isn't it? If you bless your kid, what would it mean to bless your kid? Put your hand on their head last thing at night. Do you do this with your kids? I did this with my kids. Cast demons out from left, right, and centre. That was another prayer. But I also prayed a blessing. Sorry, that was wrong, wasn't it? But I also prayed blessing over them every night, sometimes signing with the sign of the cross. Wanted good things. People talk about wishing good things for you. Well, blessing is a much better thing, but blessing is wanting. And you bless them with good things, and you give them good food, gooder holidays you can afford. Bless those who curse you. So what does it mean? Someone curses you, bless them, you do something good towards them. Next one is to pray for them. And when you pray for something is, you're having to emotionally connect with something in them, aren't you? This is a very difficult thing to do, isn't it, for someone who hates you. Because what you want to do when someone hates you is to pull away from them, but to pray for them is to pull them close to you and to bring them to God. So we're going to have to get good at this, because this is going to happen to us more and more, and we're going to have to learn how to pray for those who say things against us. Not reject them and not stand up with placards and fight them, but rather to bring them towards God and say, Father, would you bless them? Do you remember Jesus on the cross? What did he do? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He prayed a blessing on them. And then verse 30, so if someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone. So this is like, instead of responding with running away or fighting or claiming your rights, what you do is you empty yourself even more. If they've taken something from you, give them even more. If they take away something from us, we must give them even more, says Jesus. As I was meditating and thinking about this, I was just seeing Jesus again, doing this again and again. Isn't that how Jesus, as they took more and more from him, he gave himself more and more to them? This is the story, the narrative of Jesus. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes it, promise to you, do not demand it back. No, think of it like a gift in the first place. Oh, you have that, why not have something else? This is the Phil Day expression of love. We're on our third pump, aren't we? Do to others as you would have them do to you. And then there's this little bit in the middle. Did you notice this, where it goes off on one? If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those for whom you expect repayment, well, obvious, isn't it? That's what banks do. What credit is that to you? Even sinners make the sinners expect to be paid for. So all of that stuff isn't Jesus-shaped at all. That's just normal. So ignore all of that stuff. You're listening. So when they do this to you, don't even go anywhere near this stuff. That's normal. Adds nothing to your righteousness at all. But instead, love your enemies. And he repeats it again. You see, he's repeating it. So it's another, it's like, begins with love, and then there's a little bit in the middle, and then it goes love again. Love your enemies. And then he gives you an example again. Do good to them. Think of something that would be a good thing for them. And then he says, lend to them without expecting back. What's that called? Sounds to me like giving. I lend things to my son. And you're laughing because you've lent things to your sons. And you know that very well, that they're not coming back. Then your reward will be great and you'll be children of the Most High. Why? Because this is what Jesus says. Because he is kind to the ungrateful. Anyone in the room ungrateful for the kindness of God? Repeatedly ungrateful for the kindness of God. Yeah, I'd say so. I put my hand up to that. All his love upon me. I miss so much of it, and I hardly give him credit and thanks for half of it. And yet, it doesn't stop him being merciful, does it? He just keeps on being merciful. And to the wicked, yeah, I put my hand up to that. You know, we're not here in the room because we're good, are we? We're here in the room because we've been forgiven. And then he finishes. The seventh of his thing is, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. And you know that when you get to seven or something, it's the perfect one, isn't it? This is the completed one. This is the finished article. Mercy is the summary of everything. Be merciful echoes the prophets of old, doesn't it? So love and mercy. Walk humbly with your God. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. This is the very nature of Yahweh. And we must follow him, says Jesus. We must show mercy to those who don't deserve it, who are ungrateful, who take us for a ride, who criticize us, who take things from us, who will squeeze our rights as believers. Now, we don't know what it's like to live in a persecuted land. But people do in Pakistan, don't they? They go to worship on Easter Day. And they pick up bits of bodies, burn apart their bodies. How should they respond? Bless, do good, give, pray. It's incredibly challenging, isn't it? How do we respond to the challenges that people in Pakistan are experiencing, but maybe we will experience more and more? We must do these things. We must love them. This is our aggressive, what did you call it this morning? Our aggressive response of love to other people. It's an oxymoron, because of course it's not aggressive, but it's aggressive in its energy. We must love them. We must pray for them. We must bless them. We must give to them. We must do good to them. We must lend to them, and we must be merciful. This is the story of the church at its best, is it not? This is the story that took root in Israel and then across the whole of the Mediterranean and then spread all the way through up to Rome. This is the church that took all of the people whose names we read in them. Most of them died, were killed. Peter was hung upside down. Do you remember that? And crucified, and Paul was killed. All the apostles, the stories are that they were. John who wrote Revelation was put on an island. This is hard stuff for us, isn't it? It was hard. When you chose to put Jesus as your king in those days, it was very tough for you. It cost you your life sometimes. You had to choose, do I really want to follow Jesus? That's why we have this book. That's why Jesus said, blessed are you. So we need to give ourselves away, brothers and sisters, in the years to come. Now, this morning you told this story of the bridge, which is the image of, is it, I don't know if it's the same bridge, a similar bridge to the one you put up, the Alpha Bridge. And what is the story of the bridge? There is God on one side and us on the other. And the bridge is Jesus, isn't it? His death, resurrection. Jesus comes and he forms the bridge, the link between us and God. Jesus, the good one, comes towards us. And he touches us. He says, come. He makes the way for us to be with God. He's contaminated by our unrighteousness. He picks up all of our rubbish, deliberately picks it up so that it doesn't matter anymore. The direction is from God to us, not from us to God. And so we're going to break bread in a moment. This is what this is happening. It's a retelling of this story, isn't it, of God coming to you and to me, giving himself, praying a blessing upon us, emptying himself for us. He who had everything gave up everything so that he could be with us. So how are we going to respond when people start turning against us? We will give ourselves up. Brothers and sisters, we must resolutely decide, more strongly than any PCC agreement. You know, we make agreements in PCC and we vote, hands on, we must decide in our hearts. We must determine to aggressively give ourselves away. We must empty ourselves and follow Jesus. It's a few versions of the same verse. You can choose which one you want to read. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles or the pagans honourable, but when they speak, notice how he speaks, Peter, this is Peter, when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds, and that might convince them, and they might glorify God when he comes and visits us and judges us. This is who we are. This is our journey. We have to move towards them, even as they are moving against us.